Welcome to Tip Top, growing up your business with Metronomics. We will be talking with business thought leaders, entrepreneurs, CEOs, and business team coaches who have all taken the journey to grow up their businesses to their tip top. We'll be sharing strategies, systems, and stories on how you can grow up your company at the speed you want. If you are searching for your path to the tip top and feel your time is running out, then this podcast is for you. I'm your host, Shannon Susco. Well, welcome everyone. Welcome to the Tip Top Podcast. Growing up any way you want, but we're here to talk a little bit about Metronomics, but it's really not about that, right? Metronomics is a theme and everyone on the podcast somewhere is somehow connected, but today, we're with Mike Morrell. And Mike, you've been coaching for over 20 years?
Mm-hmm.
Over 20 years, 30 years business experience. You're an expert in business strategy, business growth, leadership. You know, I looked at all the different industries that you've been coaching, a part of, just actually too many to list. I'm just going to say that out loud, but that goes along with your deep learning. This is something, you know, for anyone listening is, you know, sort of blew me away. And one of the things that I loved, Mike, looking at your background is you've got a lot of certifications, right? Mm-hmm. Great Game, 3-HAG Metronomics. I love the certified duct tape marketing consultant, right? And there are like at least 10 more, right? And so let's just kick off. Like, I want to kick off right there. As a coach, you know, I know you're in your coaching, your teaching, your guiding, but you are an absolute learner. What drives that? What's that all about?
There's really only one thing, Shannon, that I focus on, and that is how do I deliver more value to the clients? And I feel like the more I know, the more I can help them work through the stuff that they have to work with. And every certification has had a reason, because a client had a need and there was a set of tools here that could meet that need. And I'm like, well, you know, it'd be good for me to know more about that too.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Because a lot of those things have application to my business as well, especially the marketing stuff.
Right.
And so right. I had an opportunity to develop a relationship with John Janch, and we got to be friends, and he was starting this consulting network, which I think his network probably has about 100 coaches that are in the consulting network. I was the first quote coach, non-marketing,
marketing network.
And his deal was, why do you want to do this? I said, so I can help my clients.
Right.
You know, because they all struggle with this. And the other problem is they get taken advantage of too. And so I needed the knowledge to be able to cry BS whenever I saw what was going on with some of the clients. I can go, I don't believe that's right. I don't think they're advising you correctly. And the more I do that, Shannon, it's more value I deliver, but the more they trust me.
Right.
Okay. And the more they're apt to listen when I've got these, you know, the certifications are great and those are just things up on the wall, but it's the tool sets.
Yes.
You know, that we have now that I can say, you know, it's just like having tools in the toolbox working on a car.
Yeah.
You know, not every tool is good for every situation.
No.
So this tool sets is gives me resources that very few coaches have to address different needs that have been identified over the years.
Yeah.
And so, I spent a lot of time learning and reading and studying. And I would say some of them very, very comfortable, consider myself very good at it. Others I'm still developing.
Yeah.
You know, I'm still learning. And it's just like anything else. The more you use it, the better you get at it. But there's not a certification where I have been able to solve a client problem with one of the tools from those resources.
Right. I love the way you describe it, because I think all coaches are definitely learners. I was just, you know, had a big smile on my face when I saw the list of certifications. I was like, awesome. But it's the size of your toolbox, right? And knowing when to pull in, when to pull out, what should we do here? And really speeding up time, for the company you're working with. Now, tell us a little bit about Proactive Leadership Group. You've been involved in that group, I think I saw, since 2001. Do I have that right?
2001. Yeah.
Tell us a little bit about that.
It was funny. I had a 20-year career in information technology. You and I have talked about that in the past.
Yes.
And my last corporate gig, I was actually the CIO of a billion-dollar corporation. And so I ran all the technology, both for the company and our 350 distributors. So we had 350 small businesses throughout the U.S. and Canada that we had an application. You know, think of QuickBooks for Interstate Batteries distributors. We wrote that and developed that from scratch. And then we bolted on handheld computers in the route trucks. You know, we were following Frito-Lay's lead back then in implementing that. And so I was responsible for all of that within the company. Then a guy approached me about doing a .com startup. And it was one of those things where you have a chance to swing the bat and make a big chunk of money. And at that time, anything .com was getting funded ridiculous. I mean, stupid money was thrown at some of these companies. We had a good idea. We were actually, our .com was the largest supplier of licensed products on the internet that nobody
knew about.
Nobody had heard of us because we were behind the scenes with high traffic sites like NFL, ESPN, Major League Baseball, NASCAR, all these entities, NCAA. We handled the whole back end.
So you would go
to ESPN.com, click on Fan Shop. You were now in our site. And so one of our investors was Microsoft. Microsoft gave us $1 million. And the condition of it was that we had to use their e-commerce platform for the development of our solution. So we were one of five companies to go live with Microsoft.net before it was commercially available. I mean, they put a guy in our office to work with us. And so we launched that. We were a great case study for Microsoft in building out e-commerce. And .net was the preferred platform for a lot of big name .coms. But we built that out. We set up distribution. We had 160,000 square foot warehouse in the Dallas area, all fully automated. I mean, we were state of the art, the stuff we were doing. And I was responsible for almost everything in the company except for sales.
Oh my gosh, that's huge.
I had HR, I had operations, I had IT. I split some of the financial responsibilities with the CEO, but I had a chance to oversee and be involved in all of that. And so you couple that with the background from Interstate, where we're building this large organization, this large corporation. We have all these small businesses that we're working with, and I built all the technology for those. So I had like the perfect training to really understand what works in a business. And so we got caught in the bubble. I tell people I didn't make $1 million, but I got $1 million education. We were able to sell the company. We sold to News Corp, which is Fox.
Oh, wow.
And they were able to parlay it into several other entities that were actually still using the technology we built up until about 3 years ago. That's how robust it was. And so I was able to do all that. But after we sold the .com, I was tired. I mean, you know what I'm talking about. When you're doing a startup, I mean, it's everything you got. I mean, we were working 20-hour days every weekend and every night.
Time is not on your side.
No, because we've got to get that next round of funding, and we have these deliverables to be able to do that. I was tired. I was burned out on the IT world. I felt like I'd kind of climbed the mountain. You know, doing what I did at Interstate, now doing a startup and building a world-class e-commerce solution.
Yeah.
And so when we sold the company, I was like, okay, what's next? What do I do next? And I can remember having a conversation with my wife, and I said something to her about, I want to start my own business. Because up until that time, I was always at the mercy of somebody else controlling my destiny. My dad was an entrepreneur. We ran a family-owned gas station in the town I grew up in. I grew up in a family business. I'm like, I never understood why my dad wanted to do that until at that point. And I'm going, I get it. I totally get it. So I decided that I was going to start my own business. And one of the consultants that I worked with when I was at Interstate had become the CIO for the city of Plano, which is a large suburb of Dallas. And he asked me if I'd come in and help architect their e-government strategy. And there's a large company actually headquartered here in Texas called Tyler Technologies, which is now the big 800-pound gorilla in that space. But we were building what Tyler Technologies now does. And we did it for the city of Plano, and they took and sold it to Fort Worth and McKinney and several other cities, this solution that we built where you could pay your traffic tickets and get permits and all this other stuff. Well, I architected all of that.
Wow.
And so that was a good couple of year contract. That led to working with the city of Dallas, working directly with the city manager on some of his IT issues. And I just didn't have an appetite to get back into the organization, but I loved helping.
Right.
And so it was through the city of Dallas, I had some people come and say, hey, can you come help us with our business on some of these things? And it just kind of parlayed into doing strategy, dealing with people, helping them develop process and leverage technology and do all those things. And that was kind of how it all got started.
Wow. And so, like, based in Dallas, Texas, we are 21 years later. Tell me about when you started out as a coach, the first part of that business, and give us a bit of sort of how did that form to where you are now?
It's a great story. I had, we sold the .com in January of 2001. I get an out of the blue phone call from a company in Pennsylvania called Resource Associates. They're saying, hey, you know, we've seen your background out there. And my resume was floating around because I was like, I got to find something to do.
Yeah.
And they called me and said, we think you'd be a great one of our affiliates. I don't want to do all that stuff. I mean, I don't know about that, because I was doing good with Plano and making some money.
Yeah.
I was like, this is easy. I like this. But I started looking down the road. I'm going, what am I going to do when that contract's up? And I had never sold anything before in my life.
You know, coming from where you came from.
I'm an IT guy. I'm the computer guy. And so I started looking at it. They had some sales and they had some training and stuff. And so they called me again in August of 2001. And they caught me just at the right time where I said, yeah, I'm interested in looking at this. And so they had a whole suite of products, leadership development, strategic planning, sales, customer service, and things like that. And the thing that got my attention was they had a youth leadership development program called Rising Stars. And that's what got me in, was I thought, you know, what a way to give back when you can work with young people and equip them with these skills that I would have killed for.
Yes.
If I had had these when I was 18 years old, I would have had a different life, because I had no clue what I wanted to do. And I was going, this is life-changing stuff. And so that's what attracted me to it. Went up, my training was actually the week after 9/11.
And oh, wow.
I mean, you talk about a heck of a time to start a business, start into that. I went through a bunch of training and stuff. And within about 3 years, I was starting to really get some traction with that. But like I said, I'd never sold or anything like that before. So I didn't know how to sell. So I reached out to the CEO of that organization. I said, I need some help. I'm doing exactly what you taught me to do, and it's not working. And so the number one producing affiliate for that organization came down to Dallas. I put him up for 3 days. I set up 8 appointments and we went and made sales calls together.
Oh, wow.
And that over that 3 days, I saw how to do it. I saw how he did it. And I told him at the end of the second day, I said, I really ought to take you out back and just beat the crap out of you. And he goes, why? I said, in the training class, you didn't do any of the stuff you taught us in the training class in these appointments. And I said, actually kind of ticked off at you. And he goes, well, I'm sorry. They actually went back and changed the training after that trip.
Yeah.
But once I saw how he did it, we set up 8 appointments over 2 days. He did all the talking the first 4. I did all the talking the second 4. Nice. We closed a $28,000 engagement the last appointment off to the races because I saw how to do it. And that's what kind of got me started. Once I figured out how to sell it, I really had no problem doing business development at that point.
Right. Right.
And so that's what got me going and became a top producing affiliate of that organization, and then got out of that and had a growth coach franchise for a period of time, became the top franchise owner in the US for that.
Wow.
Had some issues with the franchisor that we philosophically didn't agree on. I started kind of doing some of the resource associate stuff again, and Mark Green kept calling.
Yes.
Mark and I go back to the resource associates days. When you look back at Mark, Bill Napolitano, Jerry Fonz,
yep,
Julie Poland, all of us were together in that organization. And so we've kind of followed each other. But Mark kept calling me. He said, you got to check out this Gazelles thing. And I said, Mark, I'm really doing pretty good. I don't think so. And yeah, he waited a couple of months. He called me again. It was the last call that he called me. He says, you're not going to believe how much money I made last year. I was like, oh, my gosh, I need to check this out. So in 2012, I went to my first Gazelles event in Phoenix. And then I started the certification right after that. You and I were in that class.
Yes, I know.
And you had just released your first book.
Yep.
And we were swapping tech stories and all that stuff. But that got me started with those guys. And I was the first of the Gazelles coaches to go through oral panel. I was the very first.
Oh, I remember this.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. And so did that, was active with those guys and had a good time working with Keith and that whole group.
Yes.
We had a good group of coaches.
Yeah,
that Gazelles bunch was a good group.
Yes.
And then the split happened, and so it made people choose sides. Well, I actually stayed in both organizations for a period of time.
Right.
And then when three
me too,
along,
actually. Me too.
Yeah, I know you did.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
and you and I have had conversations about what happened through that whole endeavor. But then when Three Hag came along and you started putting that together, I was going, this fills in the missing pieces.
Hmm.
And that's what I've said all along about Three Hag, is you filled in the blanks that neither Gazelles or Scaling Up or Gravitas address.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Especially around strategy and people. I was very excited about that when you opened that up. And I said, I got to be a part of that. Have been doing the Three Hag stuff ever since, I guess we're what, 3-4 years now?
Yes.
Yeah. Been doing this. It is the cornerstone of everything that we do. I mean, the process. Now we supplement it with some of the duct tape stuff and some of the great
games.
Of course. You know, and
Me too.
But the thing is, they're tools that we bring in at the appropriate time.
Right.
Because there's things that they do that Three Hag doesn't do.
Yeah.
In terms of going a little bit deeper, kind of another layer down. But that's how it happened. And I've been very, very blessed and fortunate to be in a market where there's plenty of opportunity. But I've also had an opportunity to work around the world.
Yes.
The client I was telling you about that had to exit in July was originally based in Shanghai.
Wow.
So I got to make 2 trips to Shanghai, but I've worked with people in India, Germany, England, oh gosh, South America, Mexico, Canada.
Wow.
I've worked literally all over the world.
You have to get some Canadians in there, right?
Because, I had to have the Canadians.
Yeah. At least Canadians. A token right. Canadian in there, right? You always have to have at least one Canadian in there. So tell me, 21 years in, like, that's an incredible story of learning community, learning, just experiencing with your clients, how we grow them up, right? We have a great story of a exit of one of your clients. What's your big why, right? Like, is it the same why as when you started? What's your core purpose today for why you are a coach?
It's a great question. And I get asked that a lot. How do you get into this and why do you do it? Yeah. And I was actually having this conversation with a gentleman this morning at breakfast. The reality is the why for me has always been do something that helps somebody else.
Yeah.
You know, I was very fortunate to work for a great company at Interstate, and our .com was a great company. Our team worked together very, very well. We had a few issues, but for the most part, we were a good team. And I saw it through my corporate work and through the .com, I saw the power of what a group can do if they're aligned and they're all pulling on the same rope and you've got good, strong, healthy leadership and the power of that. But really my why was I wanted to do something that made a give back. I'd been very, very blessed and very fortunate, but I wanted to do something that helped other people. Our core purpose at Proactive is to make a significant positive impact on the life of everybody we encounter. And when you look at the organizations we've worked with, the last count, it's a little over 1,000 companies and 100 different
industries
in 21 years. Okay.
Congratulations. That's huge.
We had a marketing company go back and do all the research, and that's the numbers they came up with. And you look at that, now figure there you're working with the senior leaders in most of those organizations, which impacts anywhere from 10 to 5, 600 people that are impacted by the work that you do.
Yes.
I mean, where else can you get that kind of exponential impact? So that's why I do what I do is I get up every morning going, how can I make an impact in the lives of these people? Our clients first, our team second, also all of our partners, vendors, what can we get back to Metronomics? What can we get back to duct tape and to Great Game? I have found that this is just a philosophy of mine. The more you give, the more you get.
Yes.
We don't do it for that, but it always comes back to you. The more you give, the more it comes back to you. That has served me well my entire life.
Amazing.
And so that's why we do it.
Amazing. Now, for listeners and for maybe anyone who hasn't had a coach, or maybe they have had a coach is a pretty generic word. What's your sweet spot of coaching? What's your description of coaching?
Well, I get that asked a lot. And what I tell people is coaching is helping people discover the capabilities that they have within themselves. Yeah. I was an athlete in high school and college. I had coaches that had major impact on my life. I remember my senior year of high school, I had just gone through my third head football coach in 4 years of high school. And I was one of four seniors on the team. We were a very small school. But I remember he called us in the room. He says, "You guys are going to be my leaders." And he would meet with each of us individually, and he would go, "You're going to be playing this position, doing these things." And he said, "But we got to get you stronger." And he said, "If you'll do what I tell you to do by the end of the summer, you'll be able to do this, lift this much weight." And I'm like, "Are you crazy? You're nuts." But I did exactly what he coached me to do. And by the end of the summer, I not only hit the weight that he had declared, I actually exceeded it. And it gave me a level of confidence that if I just listen to people sometimes and do what they tell me, most of the time it works out. They're not trying to take advantage of you.
Yeah.
I will tell you, that guy gave me a confidence boost that I had never had before in my life. You experience stuff like that and you see the impact of coaches. It's getting them to believe that they're capable of doing more than they really acknowledge that they can. Coaching is about having to tell people, it's about facilitating the conversation where they have the aha moment, where they realize, hey, this is not magic. It's just doing these things and it works itself out. I try to stay away from consulting. Consulting is telling people what to do. People ask me all the time what I do. I'm a professional question asker.
I ask
questions that help these people. I know the answer. You know the answer. But I can't tell them the answer. I've got to ask the question so that they have the discovery, because when they have the discovery, it roots it in them and they have that aha moment. That's what we do.
Yeah, I love that. That's fantastic. Now think about this, and this is a great question for you because of your length of time. You've been a coach. You have mega experience. You've seen mega. You've grown yourself mega. What do you wish your younger self knew about coaching when you went into Proactive Leadership Group, when you went into that? What do you wish you knew, or what advice would you give your younger self?
If I had to go back, the first thing I would tell them is you need to learn how to market and sell this. You want to coach, you don't get to coach unless you learn how to market and sell it. Shannon, I've actually seen hundreds of coaches come and go in the DFW Metroplex.
Yes.
You know, they come in, they find me, they go, hey, let's have lunch. And they talk about what they want to do. And I talk about my practice and all this stuff. And they sit there and go, okay, well, they have this perception that this is easy and that it's not like any other business. You just hang out your shingle and the phone will start ringing. It doesn't work that way. You've got to network. You've got to build relationships. You've got to give value. And I tell people all the time, best way to learn how to coach is start coaching, whether you get paid for it or not.
Yes, I was going to ask you that. Yes, absolutely.
And I, for all the coaching I've done, I probably have given away an equal amount of coaching over the years just because I can. I would say learning how to market and sell is by far one of the most critical skills if you're going to be an effective coach. And if you look at the top tier coaches, we know some of the same people. Their strength is their ability to do business development, and then they get an opportunity to coach.
Yeah. Okay. Get that experience.
And so many people put all the emphasis on coaching. Well, you don't get to do it if you can't market and sell it.
Right.
That was the kind of the big aha for me.
I love it.
To figure that out.
That's good feedback because a lot of people do get trained as coaches. And I can say this from my own perspective, and I can think about Metronomics and 3HAG coaches out there, right? Uh-huh. That is one of the things. If we can't tell our story, if we're not confident enough, we'll never get the opportunity
to coach.
Right. So let me ask you, I have a couple more questions because we're having a really good conversation here. And if I think about coaches, so I think I know the answer to the first question, but I'm going to ask it anyway. So what should every coach start doing and what should they stop doing in your opinion? Okay. What should coaches start doing and stop doing?
It's a good question. The first thing is start coaching. Coach anywhere you get an opportunity. If you have a chance to have a cup of coffee with somebody, start asking them questions, identify some issues, and help them walk through an action plan on how to solve it. You learn to coach by doing it. For people that have come into our organization, I tell them, look, go coach whether you get paid for it or not. Okay. And you give away the coaching in exchange for a referral. Somebody will say, man, this guy really helped me. First thing I would tell them is start coaching as soon as you can, because I'm always reminded of something Troy Aikman said, who was the quarterback of the Cowboys. He came in as a rookie and got killed his first season. The guy went on to be a Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
And he said, you don't learn to play a quarterback carrying a clipboard.
Yeah.
You don't learn to be a coach getting certifications and doing all this other stuff. You learn to be a coach by coaching. And so you've got to start doing that first. Okay. The second thing I would tell them is don't invest in a lot of marketing stuff because you don't need it. Okay.
Yeah.
Get out there and build relationships. If I had to tell people this kind of the secret sauce for me was it was networking, speaking, and doing free coaching. Those are the things that got me the business. Networking, speaking, and free coaching. And there was a point in time, Shannon, where I was a member of 9 different chambers of commerce, 3 different networking groups. And I mean, I was up at 5 o'clock every morning going to a networking thing at 7, have one-on-ones with people after that, then go to a lunch B&I group, and then finish that, and then go to an evening mixer with somebody. I mean, that was my day. I did that over and over again till I got enough bandwidth, enough clients And I always remember something Keith Kupp always told me. He says, once you get to 4 or 5 clients, you can start living on referrals.
Yes.
And that was absolutely true for
me. It's so
true. If you're doing the good job for your clients, they all know somebody. Okay.
Yeah.
They're all in EO or they're in Vistage, they're in some group. They're out there with other in their associations and stuff. And when they start having success, what do people do? Hey, what are you doing? Well, I hired this coach. Can you introduce me to your coach? I mean, I can't tell you the last time I got a client as a result of any marketing effort that I've done. Last 5 years, every client has been a referral. You build up your client base and then you can live on the referrals, but it takes time. And
you've put all that time in up front to build the network, to get those 4 to 5 clients, do a really good job, and it should beat itself as long as you continue solid.
You got to deliver value. That's the thing. People will keep you around as long as there's value in the relationship.
Yeah. So. If you're going to thinking about right now, and all the experience you've had and thinking about forward and thinking about the state of the marketplace, what we're living through, what we've lived through. If you were going to write a book, like at this point in time, what would it be about?
Well, I'm actually working on a book as we speak. Okay.
Great.
And
can you share?
Yeah, I can. It's actually on family business.
Oh, awesome.
Okay, 70% of my clients now are next generation CEOs.
Love
They've taken
it.
Over from the father. I mean, I just signed a client last week.
Yes.
Son graduated from UT, went to Wall Street, did a stint on Wall Street, hated it, decided to come back and get in the family business. Now the mom and dad are ready to step out. And so we're navigating, putting the infrastructure in place for him to become the CEO.
Yeah.
And 70% of my clients, and I didn't realize this until I started doing the research, 70% of my clients are family businesses.
Yes.
And you go out and you look, there's a statistic, I don't know the source of it, but I imagine it's pretty close, that somewhere in the neighborhood of 70 to 80 small businesses, businesses that are under $100 million are some shape or form of a family business. Husband, wife, brother, sister, brother, something like that. And having grown up in a family business, my corporate career was in a family business, privately held family business. I had a unique perspective and then the experience of working with all these family businesses. I've seen what works and I've seen what doesn't work.
Yeah.
So there are some hard and fast things that if you do these things, you give yourself a better chance of being successful as a family business.
And that generational success is one of the toughest things. And
absolutely.
I was so surprised that my own client base was similar structure to yours, 70% at least.
Yeah.
And we're going through those generational transitions and we're actually leveraging the 3HAG Metronomics framework, right?
Yeah.
For that clarity, the trust, the verify, let it go. It's amazing. I can't wait. When did that book come out?
Our target was the end of this year. We're a little behind because I own a family business that my daughter and son-in-law run.
Yes.
And we just relocated our office to accommodate that. It's a 5-year-old family business. It's doing great. It's growing like crazy. It practices Metronomics and 3HAG.
Wow, love it.
One of the things that I'm really big on is we don't ask our clients to do anything we're not willing to do.
Yeah.
We have job scorecards. We have planning sessions.
Yes.
We have quarterly planning. We do everything that we ask our clients to do.
Yeah.
Because I think it's incredibly hypocritical if you're
not
a coach and you don't practice these things.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to tell you one of the big ones, Shannon, and this is probably one of the real keys to the success I've had, is I've had a coach for 20 years.
Yes.
I've had a coach.
Yeah, me too.
And vested. And paying for a coach. I really believe if you're a coach and you don't have a coach, you don't believe
in it. Yeah, you're leaving lots on the table. How's that? We already know that.
We do that, but the printing company has sucked up a little more of my time in the last few months because of the move. So I'm a little behind, but probably no later than first quarter next year.
Yeah. Oh, that's exciting. I can't wait because there is, and from your perspective, through both living family business and coaching it, it'll be great insights. So we'll definitely make sure we look for that. And would love to have you back to talk about that book.
Sure.
And that book.
We'd love to do that.
That'd be amazing. So two more questions. You know, I can ask questions all day because this is like so much fun. But what is one book you'd recommend to anyone listening, thinking about everything? You know, what's your favorite book? I know there's a lot.
There are a lot. I read 52 books last year.
Oh,
and
wow.
I read 30 minutes every day. That's my commitment, is every yes. day I read for 30 minutes. And I found that that pace, I can get through almost a book a week.
Wow.
And of all the books I've read, the ones that have had the biggest impact on me, but the principles I use every single day with clients, with vendors, with everybody that I work with, is The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People.
Oh, great.
Stephen Covey. I mean, I've read it. I bet you I've read that book 50 times. And every time I read it, I get something out of it I didn't see before.
So you've just inspired me to read it again, because I have not read it in a little while. I've read it quite a few times, but I'm putting that on my list.
Well, you look at the name of our company, Proactive. The very first habit he talks about is be proactive. And honestly, that's where it came from. Be proactive. Okay.
Love it.
Number two just parlays right into what we do, which is begin with the end in mind.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yes.
What is the result we're trying to create? And then how do we get there from where we are?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's real simple. It's a simple concept, but it's so hard to do. And
yes.
Because the hardest question for people to answer, Shannon, is what do you want?
Yes.
You line up 10 people and ask them that question. What do you want? 9 of the 10 are going to tell you, I don't know.
Yeah. But one will actually know.
One will know. But 10 are going to say, I don't know. Yeah. If you can answer that, then you can create a strategy to get there.
That's right.
And so begin with the end in mind, synergize, focus on what matters. Those are some of the habits, but that is probably one of the most profound books I've ever read.
Yeah. Yeah. Love it. What is one question you wish I had asked that I didn't? And how would you answer that question?
Oh, gosh, I don't know. Question you should have asked. How much time do you commit to getting all these certifications and all that stuff?
I was thinking about that because it's a commitment.
It is a commitment, and it's an investment of money, and it's an investment of time, which in my opinion is more valuable than the money. But it comes back to one of the core philosophies that we have as coaches, is that leaders are learners. And if we're going to be great at something, we have to continue to, you know, one of our core values is sharpen the saw. So what are we doing to sharpen the saw? What I have found that I have to commit, I'm sure you remember the graph that we used to have that said, this profession has this much education.
Yes,
hours.
I do.
And
like
airline
way
pilots
above the rest,
repair,
right?
Doctors and all this other stuff. Well, you take what I do from an education standpoint, it's probably 10x what that chart said. I probably have 200 to 240 hours a year in some type of education process. That's a lot of time.
A lot.
You're talking 6 full 40-hour weeks of time. But when you think about it, you go to a 3-day tip top, you go to a great game summit, you go to this meeting, you go to that meeting, you go to this, you go to this, it adds up. And then going through the certification process.
Yeah, on top of it.
Very rigorous. The great game certification took me 8 months to get through it.
Mm-hmm.
And it was very rigorous. But you know what? I'm glad it's rigorous, because the people that finish that come out equipped to do the work.
Yes.
Because you don't want to dilute the value of the education, but the investment of time is probably equivalent to 6 weeks a year.
Yeah, that's amazing. It's amazing. Yeah. And it is, you know, I think it is why a lot of the coaches that are in our network and that we know and that we continue to meet, we're all attracted to that learning from each other, learning from clients. It's a two-way street, no matter how we're out there, right? We're definitely learning. Well, I want to say thank you. This has been an amazing conversation for so many reasons. But one of the big things is just listening to the immense amount of experience you have working with, and you know, I think a proactive leadership group working with over 1,000 companies in 100 different industries. Like, that is huge. And I just want to say congratulations. Thank you. If people are looking for more information on Proactive Leadership Group, where can they get in contact with you?
They can go to our website. It's www.resultsimproved.com. On there, there's a contact us button. You just click on that and it'll come right to me and we'll follow up.
Beautiful. Well, Mike, it's such a pleasure. Thank you for sharing all your experience. I walked away, I feel like a bit of a winner. I walked away with some really good insights and whatnot. So as I always do when I talk with you, but thank you for being on Tip Top Podcast. Growing up together, we definitely have since 2012.
We have some stories, yes.
Oh, yes. So I very, very much appreciate your time. Thank you.
You're welcome, Shannon. Thank you.
Tip Top is brought to you by Metronomics. To find out more about Metronomics and how this 20-plus-year-old proven system will save you time and money as you grow up your business, visit metronomics.com. That's metronomics.com. Also, search for Metronomics in Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Google Podcasts, or anywhere else podcasts are found.